Good morning, church. It is warm out there, and sometimes when you're moving around fast before a service, you stand up here and you feel so warm, which I feel right now. But nevertheless, I am ready to sing, so let's stand and let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you once again that we have songs to sing. We have joy in our hearts, and we have the breath of life in us again. Father, as we have gathered here together in the name of Jesus, we ask, Father, that you would just meet us here with your Holy Spirit once again, that as we sing praises and worship you, you will come down and meet us. You will set this place on fire, Father, and it will just be a time of worship and praise like we've never had before. So, Father, we thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne, while all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care.
Indeed, we sing the mighty power of God.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Thank you, Lord.
In thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. I remember John, Pastor John said that a number of years ago. He said, there's only one thing that God cannot do. Fail. He cannot fail. That's why it says in Hebrews, it talks about that God promised. And then it says that by two immutable things, in that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. So when he says something, it's going to happen. In thee do we trust indeed, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand of wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, he shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh let me ne'er forget, that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Thank you, Lord.
Singing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise and worship to the Lamb. We're singing hallelujah, 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 amen. We worship and adore you, bowing down before you, songs of praises singing, hallelujahs ringing, hallelujah, 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 amen. We're singing hallelujah, and worship to the Lamb. We're singing hallelujah, 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 amen. We worship and adore you, bowing down before you, songs of praises singing, hallelujahs ringing, hallelujah, 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 amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Thank you, Lord.
I like that second verse. It says, Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. You know, God doesn't force people to choose Him.
Amen.
He says, you have a choice. However, that choice ends when our time on earth ends. And then,
hallelujah,
for Christians, it will be in the sweet by and by. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can remain when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He does richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love unto all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can prove the delights of His love unto all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. You know, we can have something and God gave it to us and we can say, it's mine. It's kind of like each and every one of my boys. When they were born into this world, I said, thank you, God. Now I'm going to give them back to you, even though I'm the caretaker. They're His. I'm just entrusted to hold on to them for a little while. But it also applies to material possessions.
Amen.
Yeah. Trust and obey.
I'll obey and serve you. I'll obey because I love you. I'll obey, my life is in your hands. For it's a way to prove my love when feelings go away. If it costs me everything, I'll obey. I'll obey and serve you. I'll obey because I love you. I'll obey, my life is in your hands. For it's a way to prove my love when feelings go away. If it costs me everything, I'll obey. I'll obey and serve you. I'll obey because I love you. I'll obey, my life is in your hands. For it's a way to prove my love when feelings go away. If it costs me everything, I'll obey. If it costs me everything, I'll obey. If it costs me everything, I'll obey.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amazes me, as I stand in awe and worship, Father God. Father God, I lift my voice in praise to Thee. Father God, my hands I humbly raise to Thee. For Thy mighty power and love amazes me, as I stand in awe and worship, Father God.
This song really takes on a new meaning in the light of last week's sermon of understanding the heart of the Father. Understanding who Father God is, His great love for us, and the sacrifice that He was willing to do. Let's sing this one more time.
Father God, I lift my voice in praise to Thee. Father God, my hands I humbly raise to Thee. For Thy mighty power and love amazes me. Amazes me, as I stand in awe and worship, Father God. Father God, I lift my voice in praise to Thee. Father God, my hands I humbly raise to Thee. For Thy mighty power and love amazes me, as I stand in awe and worship, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In this church, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in this church, Lord. Be glorified today. In our world, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in our world. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today.
Thank you, Lord.
Walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us all give thanks unto our Heavenly Father today, and let us stand up as we pray in the name of Jesus. Let us all stand up as we pray to our Heavenly Father and giving thanks unto our Heavenly Father for the things that He has done. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we want to come into Your presence with singing and enter Your gates with thanksgiving and into Your courts with praise and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it and be thankful unto the Lord and bless His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy He has begotten us unto a lovely hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. 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 In Ephesians 1:4 it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, and sing praises unto the name of Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, to show forth the loving kindness in the morning and the faithfulness every night. For Your compassions fail not, they new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says to give thanks unto the Father. Oh, hallelujah, to give thanks unto the Father, for that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Hallelujah. And this is the day that we want to celebrate our Heavenly Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, to celebrate, Jesus celebrate, hallelujah. And Lord, we thank You and praise You that we have the opportunity to come, oh, and sing praises unto Thy name, Thou Most High, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve, and just bow before Him, heavens and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, we thank You and praise You today for mighty victory. And we excited, O Lord, we excited, O Lord, to give thanks unto You, to give thanks unto our Heavenly Father for His marvelous works, for the things He has done. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so good to us. He saved us all. He made us whole. God is so good to us. And we thank you. And Father, we adore you. Father, we love you. Father, we adore you. Father, we bow down before you. Oh, and we humble ourselves today in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift us up. We surrender everything to you today. For we are yours. We've been bought with a price. And we pray today, not our will, but thy will be done, Lord. And we bless you and thank you and love you, O Lord. Oh, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before you, Lord, today and worship you in spirit and in truth and lift up holy hands and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for victory today, for a mighty victory. Oh, Lord, we didn't come today in this church. Oh, Lord, we didn't come because of duty, because it's our duty to come to your church. But we came because we love you. We came, O Lord, because, O Lord, you are Heavenly Father. You are only source. And we are excited about you. And we want to thank you for the things that you've done. Oh, how you brought us out of the darkness into your marvelous light. And we want to thank you today, O Lord, and praise you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Not out of duty, but out of love before you, Lord. And we thank you today, O Lord, that we ask you today that you do a deep work in us. Let us fall in love with you. Let us come back. And those who are pulled away, let them come back to their first love, we pray today, in the name of Jesus. Not of duty, but because of love. Because of who you are and for the things that you've done in our lives, we pray today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you today for a mighty victory. We pray for the anointing upon the pastor as he will bring the message to us. Thank you, Father, for giving him the freedom to preach. Thank you for giving him clarity of mind. And we praise you and thank you for leading him every step of the way. And let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword, we pray today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let today the high praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hands. Let us bless the Lord at all times and his praise be continually in our mouth. We thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are a provider. You are the God that shall supply all our needs. And you have supplied all our needs. And you are going to supply all our needs. And we want to thank you and praise you today that out of what you have given us, we are going to give to the work of the Lord. We are going to give with gladness. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to all every good work. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for meeting every need. We pray today that you bless the finances of this church. Bless them in a mighty way. Oh, provide, we pray, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, we pray today, in the name of Jesus. We ask you that you meet all our spiritual needs. We ask you that you guide our steps and establish our goings. We thank you, Lord, as we commit our works unto you, let our thoughts also be established, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you today, O Lord, for meeting every need in this body of believers. We pray, O Lord, for the anointing for everyone that gives a testimony today. Anoint Thomas as he gives the invitation. And let your name also be glorified with our testimonies, we pray. And Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. And all God's children said, Amen.
Good morning, everybody. We have any testimonies this morning? I've got a quick testimony. I don't know if you really call it a testimony, but it kind of struck me a little bit during the week this week. And it was on, I think, Friday. We were working on this house. And the lady there, she's an older black lady, probably about in her 70s, and she's probably late 70s. I'm just guessing. Anyway, I talked to her a little bit about the former owner of the place, because I knew him, and she knew him also. And the guy died a few years back. And so it's not real clear, but she was talking a little bit about, maybe he's in a better place. And I said, well, maybe not. And anyway, I said to her something I said, well, that's not what the Bible says. And she says, well, who's using that anymore? And then I said, I am. She says, you better. Anyway, it was a very nice lady, but that was quite the question, huh? Who's using that anymore? So, anyway, that kind of, and then when I said, I am, she says, you better, just that quick, boy. And it just kind of tickled me. And then we finished the house for the lady and moved. She had some, I said, well, there's a bunch of stuff out back here, you know, that you want us to move it around for you before we leave. You know, she had picnic tables and it was all heaped together to be out of our way. And so we put some of her furniture back, and then she had a couple tomato plants, looked like they're almost dead, you know. And I said, well, what about these? Oh, they're almost dead. I said, well, we got I see a little tomato over here. And I said, maybe they can be salvaged. So I said, let's put them out here in the yard because it's too hot on this concrete. So we put them out there and watered them for, you know. But anyway, that's off track. But what she said is, who's going by that anymore? Very good question. Okay. I think Satira, she had a testimony.
We want to praise God for He makes those divine appointments. It is wonderful how he uses people, reach out to people, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. We were at the gas station. We didn't plan to go to the gas station, but there was enough gas in the car, but God put it in my heart, let's go and put gas in the car. So as we went there, we filled up the tank with gas. We saw this young man going around and asking everybody if he can give him some money so he can put gas in the car, in their car. They were out of gas. So I kept watching him and watching him. And eventually I went close to him and I said, I'd like to talk to you. What about? He says, I'd like to talk to you. And again he kept saying, what about? And then he was smoking a cigarette and I said, why don't you put your cigarette out and let's talk? And so this went on and on, and then I let Joanne continue. She has written everything in detail what
tell
took place.
Mother's salvation.
Okay. And so what we did, we saw a car over there, and we felt that she was part of this. And then we found out as we approached that lady that she was the mother of that young man. And they were going someplace, so they ran out of gas, supposedly. And so he was going around to get money, so to put gas in the car. So we started talking to her. We found out that she was Catholic. And so we said, what do you think about the next life? Where do you think you will go? I know you are Catholic, but where are you going to go? She says, I know I'm good, she says, so I think that I'm going to go to heaven. So I told her what the Bible says, that the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ, not through a church or any other organization. The only way, and not because of your works. So I said, you will know today where you're going to go if you do what we ask you, you know that you're going to go to heaven if you give your heart to Christ, repent for your sins, and accept him as your Lord and Savior? And so she says, eventually she said yes. So we led her to the sinner's prayer, and we felt a change in that woman's life. And so I'll let Joanne continue on this.
So the mother's name is Gloria, and the young man's name is Chris. And so after she said thank you to us for the salvation, we left her. And Satiris went inside the station, and I walked across the sidewalk to her son, Chris. He was opposite from the car, and he was busy asking money for gas again. And I asked him if he knew Jesus, and he replied, I don't want to be on the streets, and I don't want to go to prison. And I told him if he accepted Jesus into his heart, he would heal his pain and he wouldn't need marijuana any longer as a painkiller. His mom had told us that he used that. And again and then again, he repeated, I don't like being out here and I don't want to go to prison. It was like somebody was forcing him to do that. And we don't know who that was. And about that time, a lady walked up and handed Chris $5 and said, son, she's right about Jesus and I'm a Christian, so I know. And she walked away. And I began witnessing to him about something that happened to me when I used Jesus. A pit bulldog came after me and said, I said five times in the name of Jesus, you stop. And he did. And his owner came running out to see what I did to his dog. And about that time, Satiris came over to us and gave Chris $2 and asked him if he could talk to him and began talking. Then his mom came over to us. And the Holy Spirit was just drawing people in this little circle. And Satiris was working toward the sinner's prayer, and a young Spanish man was listening intently about 12 feet over to all four of us. And I motioned for him to come over two times, and he came over and held hands with us. And Satiris was saying the preceding prayer, which lays the groundwork for us to be cleansed and so forth. And so here the five of us are holding hands, and when Satiris slowed down in prayer, this Spanish man burst out in such a powerful prayer. He cut loose with the power of God. You could feel it so heavy. And he prayed off of Chris any drugs, alcohol, lying, cheating, stealing, etc. He went on for 3 minutes, just poured out of his mouth. And after checking Chris out on being a sinner, then Satiris took over. And we're still holding hands as he accepted Jesus into his heart. And his mother had come over also and said, I want him to do that. And I said, that's what we're doing. And so, but we all held hands, and I could feel the power so strongly. And I had a smile plastered on my face, a big, bright smile. And I kept looking at Chris, right in his eyes. And we could feel the powerful anointing of God all over everybody there. And Satiris and I agreed later that this was a powerful carryover from the Father's Prayer spoken here on Sunday and in our church. And it was like the great arms of the Holy Spirit just surrounded everybody and drew them in closer and closer till we were in a circle holding hands. It was beautiful. And then that divine appointment for the Son took place. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for Satiris' obedience to stop at the gas station when we didn't need gas, like he said. And then the Spanish man began witnessing to Chris that he became a Christian through Victory Outreach after being on crank, hash, amphetamines, heroin, alcohol, and on he went, naming everything from A to Z. He had done just about everything I've ever heard of. Anyway, he had lost his home, lost his family and friends, and everything. And then he pointed over to his car, and a new wife of 1 year was sitting there, and God had given him a job and pointed to the Home Depot down the street. He had a job. He had everything because he had Jesus. It was beautiful. And he invited Chris to Victory Outreach, and we've invited them to come here, but they're not here yet. And we pray God will continue moving on their lives. And he showed us last night that he's going to continue strengthening his holy power to those who will hear him. And he's just waiting for somebody to do something. And when you're willing, he just, you open your mouth and he does it. And you don't even know you're going to be doing it. But it's beautiful. And his power was so strong. I've never felt it like that. And we said, do it again, God, do it again. But we just thank God for everything that took place.
When I approached them, my wife started talking to Chris. So I approached him and I said to him, tell me, what do you want out of life? What is your purpose? And then he says just what Joanne said, that I don't want to go to jail. I don't want people to hurt me. And I don't want to die and all kinds of things. And so we told him what is the what he needs to do so he can avoid, so God can protect him and he can be a shield around him. And after that, as we, I said, let's lay, in the meantime, the mother came over and we held hands. And now this Mexican person comes close. I didn't know that Joanne invited him to come. So he came close and he wanted to be part of it. So I asked him, are you a Christian? He says, yes. All right, join the circle, I said to him. So we all joined the circle and we started praying. But before that, he gave his testimony to Chris. He says what he went through, how he was in drugs and alcohol and all these kind of things, and how God saved him. And that's when the guy realized that that's what he needs. He needed Jesus. And then we led him into the sinner's prayer. And after we prayed, that Mexican guy started praying also a powerful prayer. And so that's our testimony. We praise God for giving us that opportunity.
Stefan.
Oh. And last night, we have a young man that we keep witnessing to him, and we have him also, he and his friend come over and mow the lawn. And so as he came to get his money, he sat down and we started talking to him, and I said, would you like to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that you are a sinner and so on? He said yes. He told us that his parents abandoned him when he was very small, and his grandfather took him, started raising him up. And he's a nice fellow. We invited him, as a matter of fact, to come to church, but he did not show up. But we believe that eventually he will come. But it was a wonderful thing that he gave his heart to Christ, and the power of God touched him, and it was a wonderful thing that happened last night. Amen. So we praise God for that.
Jesus.
All right. Any more testimonies? Okay, Pastor John.
Praise the Lord, and good morning. Still is morning here. Well, today is Father's Day, and we want to do is this. We want to pray for all the fathers that we have in the congregation. So if you want to stand up, every father will stand up. We're going to pray for you right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these men that are fathers. And Lord, each one of them have children, Lord, they have taken responsibility for. And I pray you would strengthen these men, that every day they be able to have an influence, a godly influence on their children. So that, Father God, the next generation will walk with you. We thank you for healing these men if they have the disease. And Father God, you will meet their needs. And Father, help their wives, Lord, to honor their husbands as their husbands are treating their wives as Christ treated the church. And we thank you, we praise you for that now, in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed said, amen. You may be seated. Well, praise the Lord. We going to have a number of things here happening. Let me first give a couple of announcements. We're going to have water baptism next Sunday. And we have a questionnaire. It didn't print out quite the way I wanted it, but it printed out. So those of you that are going to be baptized next Sunday, would you raise a hand and we will hand out a this to you so you can fill it in. This is for your certificate. So if you're going to be baptized, keep your hand up so they can see you. And here is Peter coming down. And one more over here, Peter. Over here. Okay. So please fill that out, the two pages. It should have been one page, but my computer and the copy machine did not cooperate today. So just fill it out, hand it to me after the service, and we will then use that to present you with a very nice certificate that you can frame and then hang up in your home. Now, this is for sometime God has been speaking about this. I'm teaching here on Thursday nights, and I've been going through a number of different things, emotional hindrances, and we had talked about unbelief, hopelessness. We talked about dying to self, what to do if you are the bum. It was one of the titles, and we had talked about depression, what caused depression in a human being. We've also discussed bitterness and self-bitterness. So I put together here for those of you that have not been able to come to the Thursday night, I have put together here for you the outlines. They're laying back here on the desk in our bookstore. And if you are watching us right now, and prayerfully we're being broadcast, you can call us and ask for these outlines. Eventually, we will have the audio, the video, but we are so behind that we do not have them. But I feel it's important that you that are here get a chance to get these if you're not here on Thursday nights. Before we pray today, I would like to share what God is doing. So many times, we wonder, you know, what is God doing in our lives and so on. I don't know how many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we will find it out in a few moments. But we had a lady in Kansas, the state of Kansas, that got involved with our website. And so she's been listening, getting stuff from us and so on. And people have been praying with her. And she decided to come out to California this month and to be set free from the demonic force that made a wreck out of her life. So at this time, Deborah, would you rise up and come on up here and share your testimony, what God has done, why you came here, what happened to you. And also the devil has had you to hurt yourself. And just come on up here. And there's a lot of people that are watching us now, not only here in the church, and just share with us what God has done in your life and how you came here. Okay.
Well, if no one knows who I am, my name is Deborah George, and I'm actually I was born in L.A., California, and was introduced to the Lord at a very early age. I was born again, accepted Jesus as my friend, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 5 years old. And things progressed where my parents backslid. We moved to Porterville, California. A few people know where that is. I have no desire to go back there. So I felt like my family had taken Jesus away from me. It made me angry and bitter. And, of course, my parents backslid, and us moving away from the church and everything, and I loved Jesus. But as a five-year-old child, you know, you don't have a lot of choices. In fact, you have none. Your parents pretty much choose what the way you're going to think and so forth like that, and where you're going to live. And so when they backslid, I became a problem child. Because I was upset that they had taken Jesus away from me. So, and I got a distorted view of the Lord as years went on. But through my life, I always had that experience where it was like, oh, if I could just, you know, feel Jesus like I did when I was five. And that's what kept me through so many dangers and toils, you know, as the song goes. And I did go to the bottom, all the way to the bottom. I was, and it seemed like I was constantly being around people that said they were Christians, but they really weren't. And so I was very verbal, very headstrong, I suppose. And because of my experience with the Lord, I would look at him and I'd go, that's not Christianity. Amen. And then, of course, there was a target on me, you know. And I had went through, Brenham, people that, knew Brenham. I knew Brenham, you know, of Brenham. I was married into it. And of course that was not God at all. And then I went through the Jesus Only church, and I studied to be in the ministry for 12 years. When I got to this church back in Kansas and the Jesus Only church, I had been wounded because I had just buried a son. He had 5 heart surgeries up at KU. They made a lot of money off of him. And he was my miracle baby. But God said it was enough and it was time to take him home. And that's a story itself. But Eric is a wonderful testimony of what God can do. I was open and wounded. And so when I went to the Jesus Only church, I was so hungry. I wanted to get back to the Lord. And I was so hungry that I was like a sponge and I was sucking in everything that he said behind the pulpit, not realizing that that was also an occult. And so here I was, full of unclean spirits. I went in there to be healed, and I came out with more spirits. And so I was really done with religion or whatever, you know. And I had went through an atheist experience because I had always known that there was a God, you know, that Jesus was real, that he was my friend. And I did have another experience when I was 26 years old, and the Lord said, this is who I am. And but I still wasn't set free from the demons in my life. And I started abusing myself. And in fact, I did that when I was younger. But I started abusing myself, trying to kill myself with drugs and whatever else I could do to shorten my life. And I really came to a place where I begged God to take me home because I was done. I was done losing my kids. I was done with people telling me that I was no good and I wasn't perfect and I wasn't this way or that way. And actually, I came to the decision that it wasn't about perfection at all. It was that I did not think the way they did. And so anyway, I came out here. I found the website of John Terrell, and I read his material, The Dove. When Charles sent that to me, winters are pretty heavy back in Kansas, and so I laid the doves around my bed, and I said, this is what I'm going to do this winter. I'm going to read every one of those. And I did. And they're so marked up really bad. But I learned so many things. And the Lord showed me. He said, this is who I am. And the Lord showed me. He said, this is what you went through. And through the messages that I got from this ministry, God started healing me in the ways that he could until I could get here. And I did learn. I mean, you know, I was learning. I still had the Holy Spirit, but I also had spirits that were trying to destroy me constantly. This was a new avenue to me because I was raised to believe, well, if you're born again, you don't have spirits. Really? Well, I wonder what this is then. Or these. And so the Lord led me to come out here. I was, you know, I mean, Last Wednesday, we had fun, didn't we? And I, Carol and Shireen and Monica and I were in the room, and for about 6 hours, I did a lot of yawning. And I can sit here and tell you that my spirit is free. My soul is free. I have an avenue to the Father. And this is ironic. Today is a Father's Day. And this is wonderful to feel that I can speak to my Father anytime. And I don't have that blockage. I don't have something trying to block me, you know. And I'm very, very grateful to Peter and Monica for letting me into their home. And John and Ina, wonderful people. Yep, thank you.
I want to share it a little bit because there's some people that are hurting. Now, as a teenager, you were in orphanage's home? You were in...
Yes, my parents wanted to drink and party in Vegas, where we started living after Porterville. And, of course, you know, there's 24-hour service in Vegas. For a kid, all I had to do was sneak out of the house and so forth like that. But at the same time, I was wanting my parents to, you know, I wanted to be a family, you know. And eventually, I became the target in my family. I was, for a long time I was, but my parents decided that they did not need me anymore. I was the problem child, the black sheep. So I went through Colorado Junior Republic, which is an unwanted children's service. It's a wonderful place. And then I was in Nevada Girls Training Center, where I really learned a lot of stuff. And I believe that God allowed that to happen because of the way I was raised, because of the violence. My parents looked me across the room. They didn't ask questions. They asked later. You didn't know what was going to fly when you got home. And so I lived in a lot of terror and fear, and then of course they would, when they weren't back, you know, they were coming back to the Lord per se, they would open the Bible and say, you know, if you don't do this, God's going to get you. And I was like, well, then let him get me, because I'm, you know, you've been beating me. So what's the deal? I was very confused, but God allowed that to happen for me to be locked up, because I think I would have been in prison for the rest of my life if he had not taught me that there was another way to deal with issues. And I got on my knees when my daughter was young, and I said, God, you either teach me to be a mother or I put her up for adoption. I loved her. But God taught me to be a mom. And then with my son, when we went through the surgeries and stuff, God really showed me what I had in me that I didn't know I had in me. And he was a father to me and my son. And I seen Jesus everywhere through my son. And so is there anything else there? I'm forgetting.
Well, the other thing, too, is you were smoking...
the dope, yeah. Yeah, I shot up meth and crystal and, you know, like I tried to kill myself. Okay, my first son was kidnapped when he was 3 months old. And my ex-husband's father was in Brenham's ministry. And so what they did was they used God to hold me down and tell me that I need to mind and so forth like that. Now, my son's name is Israel. He was, and that his father named him that, and that's what he wanted. I found out later he wanted to impregnate a woman and have the child and get rid of the woman, and that's exactly what he did. I went through 3 years of pure hell. My first husband shaved my hair off, busted my front teeth out, overdosed me with Quaaludes and Thorazines, left me for dead. The only reason why I ended up in the hospital was because he did not want a dead woman in his house, his wife. And that was, you know, I mean, it was like, even through all of that, I knew that this was not Jesus. And then, you know, then I had my son who had the heart surgery. And then 25 years later, I'm going through the same thing again, where my daughter, Alexa, she was born at home with a midwife. Alexa was taken from me because I was in an occult. That was the, but what happened was the church and my ex-husband and my father got together and just did a circle around me and just started shooting bullets at me, you know, because I confronted the pastor. The pastor was having a sexual affair. And then he had asked an 18-year-old girl to marry him, which he is married to today. And I'm still back there in that atmosphere, but they think I need to apologize to him, and that's not going to happen. You know, I know what God told me to say to them, and I did it according to the scriptures. I went to him personally. Then I went, and there, God raised his witnesses up, and eventually it just had to come forth. And when I stood up in front of the church, I knew I was a dead woman. I knew it. They were after me. And they took everything. In 3 days, I lost everything. My business, my home, my daughter, everything. And I'm going down the road in an old clunker RV. And I lived in it for 3 years. But God taught me a lot of things in that RV. But I did drugs. I tried to medicate myself. Eventually, I started cutting on my hair. And I don't know. Now, when I came to John, John's come up to me one day and he said something about me and my hair. And I have no problem talking about it. And he said, you know, God showed me that you abuse your hair. And I said, yeah. And he said, those are unloving spirits. And that made sense to me. Because I felt so unloved, so hated, that it was like, God, just let me go home, because in heaven, nobody hates anybody in heaven. And so I know I'm free from that. I have a new view of my life today than I did when I first got here. I know where to go to get God's agenda. I can get there now. I always knew where to go. I just couldn't get there. So, is there anything
else? And you also dropped the cigarettes.
Oh, I did too, didn't I? Yes. I can sing again. I was smoking. And, you know, John says, well, as long as you go out on the street, and that's fine. You know, I'm very respectful. Even in my own home, if somebody comes to my house, I don't know if they have asthma or something. Do you mind if I have a cigarette? You know, I'll go outside. Carol and Serene prayed for me and prayed against that spirit of nicotine. And, then I was going to give the cigarettes to Peter, and I said, Peter, one deal. I'm going to give you the cigarettes because I don't want no temptations in the middle of the night, because I got a carton and a half or something like that. And I said, Peter, just promise me one thing. You'll let me have a cigarette if I ask for it. But I'm going to try not to smoke. I didn't want to have them right on hand. So lo and behold, while I've got that carton of cigarettes in the office, here comes John. So, you know, he had me stand on the cigarettes. We prayed a prayer, and I have not touched a cigarette since the 4th of this month. So I am very grateful for that. Very much so.
Okay.
Is that it?
Just take it right there, yeah.
Okay.
You know, we have done deliverance for many years, and my wife and I, Satiris and Joanne, have been the people that have been doing deliverances continually. And at this point, I'd like to bring the team up here to show the people around the world. So, Shireen, would you stand up? And Monica and Carol, would you come on up here? And that's what when you come to church, you never know. So, this is the new team that God has given us. And Carol is a team leader. You want to share something about the deliverance with the people here?
I just know that it's a wonderful thing to be a blessing to somebody that the Lord is setting free. I can't think of of a better ministry than to pray for people who are hungry and submitted to God.
Shireen, this was probably your first time you were on a team, or no, you've been doing this before. Yeah. Any comment you have?
Well, when I was delivered, of course, it was exciting, and I don't know, it's just not enough words to say what it was, but it was absolutely wonderful. And I never thought I would be part of that. I thought, oh, it's too scary for me to do that for somebody else. And then Pastor John asked me to do it. And so I'm doing it. I tell you, it's the biggest honor I've ever had. And there's such great joy in helping people. It's just too much to even express. So I'm just grateful that I'm being able to be worked with and to work with other people.
Well, of course, this was my first try at being, you know, present for a deliverance. So I learned a whole lot. I learned a lot. And I'm looking forward to learning more.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You know, so many times we pray for things, and we would like to see some results. And so I still didn't get it. Now, how long you found us on the internet, and how long did you?
About 4 or 5 years.
And I know that there are people out there that have been watching us, listening to us, and so sometimes people had to drive across the country to get free, but God does set people free if they are hungry. There's one thing about Deborah, she was hungry for God. We're going to be praying here for some needs, and let me start here about finances with you first. Our ministry has never reached as many people as we are doing right now. At the same time, we have never had so few people support us as we're having right now. And as I prayed about this Friday and Saturday, God showed me a tree. And we are a tree. But a tree cannot live without roots. And God's people are the roots to this ministry. And the roots are spread out under the ground. The roots bring nourishment to the tree. But the roots cannot do that unless there is water coming down and nutrients to the roots. And so this week, I sent an email out to a few of our friends, and two families responded in Europe, and they helped us today to pay one-third of the rent. We still got one-third left to go. And for some reason, like I said, we have never had so many people listening to us, watching us, writing us, and yet so many people have dropped off and not helping us. And I'm going to ask today, those of you that are watching, that if you please, if you are blessed by this ministry, if you'll be part of our root system and give us some nourishment that we can continue. Because without God's people, we cannot continue. I have another technical glitch to tell you today. We were supposed to take the Lord's Supper. I know that many of you in different parts of the world are sitting there. You have your grape juice. You got your bread ready to go. And I am very sorry, but we are not able to have communion today. The reason is that the people were not able to prepare. And so next week, we will for sure be prepared. So please save your grape juice and your bread. We'll get fresh bread and be with us next week as we're going to have communion together. We're also going to have water baptism next week that will not be broadcast. We're doing that on another facility. Let me bring to you right now another praise report. We prayed for Patty Sims in New York, and I just talked to her husband, Eric, this morning, and he told me this, that after the prayer and after she had changed and got some medicine, she is so much better, and they are thanking God that God hears prayers. So you want to praise God for that. Let me read this to you. This is from one of our members here in our church, Brother Bob. And last Thursday, you know, he plays the guitar for us on Thursday night and lead his singing. And he was very, very ill last Thursday. And Charles and a few other people, Satiris, I believe, prayed for him down in the corner. And he got up and played and ministered to us. But he wrote this email here. We're going to pray for that today. I've been harboring pain for quite some time, trying to see Debbie healed or whatever God chose. It is erupting mightily in the back and liver area. Thursday, I gritted teeth and trusted God to see me through the music. But now it is massive in the back and liver, inflammation, it would seem, to the max. With something else. Diane was scheduled to see her father tomorrow in Walnut Creek. At this point, I may try to drive her, but unless this lets up from prayer my infrared pads, it would be foolish. As you know, we are tapped out completely over the past years and had to drop the HMO insurance. You know how that goes. We naturally paid for years and never used it, and now when we could, it's proof like the wind. Thanks for everything. You know me. I don't ask for myself normally, but at the Thursday night Bible class, I all at once love me. We spoke about loving yourself. How did that happen? I won't ask this for a minor thing. This is not minor by any means. God bless you, Anina, and the entire Worldwide Resurrection Life congregation. And this is signed, Bob. So we're going to pray for Bob today. So let's have the church come forward at this time, and we're going to have our prayer time. I'm going to ask you, Thomas, if you would pray for Bob for that liver situation.
Father God, we want to lift up Bob to you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that he is coming back to church. He's there participating on Thursday night with the music, Lord, and things are changing for him. So, Lord, we lift him up for his liver and back problem, Lord. You are in control of all these things, Father. And we know that Jesus paid for healing on the cross. So, Father, we lift him up to you. We thank you for supernatural healing. Yes. And also, Lord, that his soul will be healed, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
That Pastor John just testified that he's starting to learn to love himself. That's a beginning of a healing, Lord.
Amen.
So, Father, we pray for his soul to be healed. And then for his body to line up, Lord. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to move outside of church today, Lord. And Father God, we want to pray for the people in Iran or Persia. The Father God have been suppressed for so many years by the Muslim faith. And God, you know that you got a small but vibrant church in Persia. Yes. And God, your apostles went there. The first 600 years, Persia was a Christian nation where Christ was revered and the gospel was preached. And then the devil came in the form of Muhammad and killed the Christians and forced the children to adopt Islam. And today, Father God, I believe that your Holy Spirit is moving upon the Iranian people to break off the yokes of this terrible plague, the scourge of Islam. It's a scourge, Father God. It's not a religion. And I don't care if I'm politically not correct. I'm going to speak like it is. And we pray, Father God, that you will sustain the people over there, that you will continue the uprising, Father God, that you will take the mullahs and send them where they should be, into the desert, unless they repent of their sins, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that for one time we can see some victory in the world, not always a devil rolling over everything and being victorious in all things. And we thank you, Father God, as we pray for the people in Iran, the Persian people. And we thank you, Father God, for hearing our prayers right now. And Father God, I lift up our finances. Father God, you know that I don't like to talk about it. I don't like to speak about it. But Father God, we're down to the bottom of the barrel. And Lord, unless you move upon your people around the world, we cannot sustain this. We're running on fumes right now. And I beg of you, Lord, that you will turn this around and help us, Father God, as there are so many more people like Debbie out there, Deborah, that needs help. And I thank you that today, Father God, you're going to move upon thousands of people that this week would help us out financially and put us over, Lord, that we will not have to shut things down. And I thank and I praise you for that right now. Thank you, Father God, for your healing touch upon this congregation. And we love you right now, Lord. And we thank you for the victory. We thank you for the victory of Deborah, Father God. And we pray for her as she goes back to Kansas, Lord, that you keep her strong, protect her, give her some friends over there, Lord, and let her begin to rise and share the word of God. Amen. And not to be defeated again. And this we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people are great said, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Let's have the outlines handed out.